Okay, starting recorder now, Marcus. All right with you?
Sounds good.
Okay, good, man. You sound pretty good.
On the record.
I beg your pardon?
Let's be on the record.
Yeah. A conversation that happens between two people is a little bit like a tree that falls in a forest and it's only seen by a beaver.
Yes.
Usually the beaver that...
Right.
Usually the beaver that pulled the tree down.
Yes,
but
right.
But if you broadcast it, then at least a few people see it. But yeah, like I was telling you before, you're going to be on the Riddler Report such as it is. So this is not the Riddler Report as it was, because I used to have a lot of hits and a lot of traffic and everything, but I've been almost completely deplatformed.
Why were you deplatformed? I mean, we could talk about that on the show. I'd love to hear about that. We could also discuss that.
I don't know the exact reasons. Each video that got taken down, it seemed, was basically, is like, it would say, well, you mentioned COVID here, and then you're not allowed to talk about that, basically, or, you know, COVID denials are not allowed. But I don't do COVID denials, right? I just show how the process looks of lockdown and so forth, and it just happens to be COVID-related, and so
yeah.
They would take it down. Or there was another one... remember, I think I quoted somebody. Somebody said something that's not, you're not allowed to say it on YouTube, but I was quoting someone else to condemn them, and they took me down for that. Something like, but it's like, I never could figure out what it was, you know. It was just, they were just taking down every fourth video I would put up, and each time they would take down a video, they'd say, you've got a new warning or strike, and if you get one more strike, we're going to delete all 4,000 of your videos.
Yeah.
So the solution was to just stop putting any more videos on that channel to preserve the videos that are already there and do get watched.
Smart. Good move.
So I moved over, and then I moved over to Odyssey and BitChute, and I have started a second YouTube channel, but no one watches that. No one watches any of that stuff, really.
Where are you going to broadcast this one?
This will broadcast on probably BitChute, Odyssey, Facebook, and Rumble, I guess, those four. Then I'll copy it to Telegram. So, basically, I'm up at about 20% of where I was maybe 2 years ago in terms of audience.
Right.
Yeah. So they knock us down, we just got to keep trying to get back up. But it's also important to be doing different things and not just trying to... You want to be like water instead of like a glacier. You don't want to try to push through everything. You want to go around your problems. So for me, I think the secession drive is important because it's something we can do that makes an end run around all these censorship attempts.
Yeah.
So I don't even know. I mean, if I was still able to go do ambush interviews at the State House and easily get, you know, 4,000 hits on an average video, I might just be doing that now instead of working on this independence legislation.
Can you do both?
Well, yeah, I mean, like I said, and this is part of the both. You know, I film stuff that I don't have to go too far out of my way for. Any time I interact with police, I film that and put it on the channel. And actually, I guess I am uploading about the same number of videos per month as I was before the censorship storm. But I have gone ahead and added this independence activity to it because I like I said, I think we need to strike the root of this problem instead of hacking at every branch, and that the censorship is just a branch of the problem. You know, right now we have like Library Odyssey is located in Manchester, in New Hampshire, and they're the alternative to YouTube that seems to be most effective. But you know, as soon as they started getting a little bit effective, the feds came for them. So we need
how coincidental, right?
We need to be independent so that the federal government can't so easily just send the FBI or the SEC after any institution it doesn't like that's located here.
Yeah.
But anyway, I should probably give some background here. I'm here with Marcus Ruiz Evans? Am I saying that correctly?
Yep, okay. Yep.
Of CalExit, also known as Yes California. And I had reached out to you to let you know that we had started an independence drive in New Hampshire in earnest, you immediately responded that, well, we should talk about this and share it with the public, so that's great.
Yeah, I'm all about let's document it, let's get the conversations out there, largely because the issue for independence movements is to prove that you are rational. The immediate go-to stereotype for most of the public, and certainly for the, the state, as you would define them, in Big Ten terms, they want to paint us all as crazy, and we have no understanding of the law or understanding of how government works, and everything's just sort of like, baked together and some sort of loose confederation of ideas, rather than we actually do understand the law and we do understand the system, and it is because of that understanding we are proposing this. And that's our only way of getting that message out, is to record our conversations where we display those behaviors.
Well, you're talking to the wrong person then, because I don't understand the system that well. And I think that, to me, it's a badge of courage if you're not inside the system or you're not a political person. Ultimately, we are going to have people that have a better understanding of it, and they're not just looking at the big picture. And we're gradually getting that, because I guess we have five state reps on our email list discussing the Independence Amendment. And only two of them have been coming to the conference calls. We just got three on board the email list this week, and then hopefully we'll start seeing four or five reps on the calls. But it was not too difficult to find reps who were interested in the independence and separating from the union. So I think in other states that would be more difficult, and I'm glad you haven't been having too much trouble. But I'd be curious to know what your status is in terms of where do you guys stand now in terms of how far you've gotten with your process of getting California independent.
Well, we don't have the reps that you do, so congratulations, that's outstanding. The fact is that few states are able to have anybody who selected at any level even mention something, or even say I'm willing to discuss it, or even mention the name. It's really a taboo, haram subject matter. So the fact that you've got any legislators, congratulations. That's outstanding work, and it places you in the satellite of the Scottish National Party, where you were able to take a dream and then move it into the political system. So I'm going to have to totally disagree with you when you say that you don't understand the system and have no idea and I'm at the wrong place. I'm right where I should be, working with people who do know how to get into the political system to some degree, and at least connect at some level, because most people can't even do what you've done so far.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I think you guys are ahead of us when it comes to publicity, though. We have not gotten much, and of course, we've discovered that we need it right about the time that the censorship storm has been starting. So, we'll see. But, an independence drive should be impossible to keep secret, because the, for instance, we've done a lot of things that you would have thought would have gotten media attention over the last few months because of this. There was a big raid on New Hampshire Bitcoiners, where they arrested a bunch of our people and seized a bunch of machines and so forth. It was like one of the news outlets called it the sacking of Crypto Mecca. Crypto Mecca.
I heard of that.
But that sort of was one of our spurs for pushing this forward. But anyway, so we've had a lot of publicity we've had a lot of things we've done that should have generated publicity but didn't. Both those raids didn't generate that much publicity, and the reactions to the raids, all the demonstrations and reaction to the raids, didn't generate much publicity. And the but this independence drive, we hadn't even started publicizing it yet, and it's already got publicity in The Verge.
Well, that's excellent. So that's another great sign. The fact is that you do have legislators, and the fact that you haven't even started your publicity drive, and you're picking up eyeballs. So those are good signs. I'm jealous of you. I think that's good. Certainly, yes, we excel in other areas, but, you know, don't hit players, hit the game. Like, you're doing very well with what you're doing. I'd be proud of myself if I were you. I would be very encouraged to triple your efforts at reaching out to and getting more legislators. The more you make this conversation normative, they call it normative programming. So when you pull this idea out of harebrained, tinfoil pod crazy into, yeah, I don't agree, but some people who understand policy actually think that's right, it's a win. And when you're able to do that in New Hampshire, it makes it better for everybody. The whole idea is taboo across America. So anywhere where it gets mainstream attention makes it better for everybody.
Well, I guess there was an article in WorldNet. No, it wasn't WorldNet Daily. It was Newsweek. Newsweek published, you probably saw it, you know, that series of polls that come out that indicates a dramatic increase in pro-independence sentiment among Americans.
Yeah, we were very pleased to see 42% of Democrats on the West Coast, which is where California is, out of nowhere. And what it said was that our talking point that Californians never stopped dreaming about being independent was true.
Yeah, they said... Go ahead.
No, please, please.
Well, they said, and I'm not sure I believe this, but they said that they were showing 40... Yeah, they were showing, I think, 45%, wasn't it, for East Coast Democrats wanting independence for their states. I'm not sure I believe that.
It looked reasonable as far as polls go. I always say the best thing is to have multiple polls around the same time asking the same methodologically put together, you know, sentence construction. So like you're getting similar results. It's really dangerous to use one poll. That being said, I don't think it's outlandish because, and yes, California, we had predicted that Donald Trump would win, and I still think that was accurate because coronavirus happened. Biden only won by 2%. The majority, they go, largest election ever. Yeah, you won by 2%. That means half the country doesn't like you, basically. And the attitude was, well, Trump's going to go away, unity will happen, everybody's going to calm down. And we said, that's not going to happen, but they're not going to hear it. There'll be a honeymoon. And then in about 3-4 months, it'll go away and people will, you know, be willing to recognize the reality of the political situation environment we find ourselves in modern America 2021. And that's what happened. So Biden's popularity dropped down to 50%, I think, a few weeks ago. And people are realizing America's not being unified. It's not coming together for whatever reason. But all that daydream and it's all going to get better is gone. And so when you look at the fact that the poll came out with that as the backdrop of the political sentiment, I think these numbers are accurate and should be believed.
I hope you're right. The I guess as of 2017, they did do some polls, and we were looking at about 25% on average, you know, and pretty much all over the country, 25% in favor of independence or independence movements in their states. And actually, that is apparently the same number that Scotland had those numbers too, around 2012. It didn't take very long for that to come up to about 50% in the elections. It wasn't quite. I don't think it was quite 50% in the elections. The polling was showing 50% support for independence. The election was probably more like 47%, it's complicated, but. Again, you know, this phenomenon where this thing, it really does go from 0 to 100 in a very short period of time. No one was thinking about Slovenia independence in 1985, and no one was, and I was just listening to a speech about Baltic independence that was done. It was a speech in 1989. And they were saying that if we had even given this speech here in Washington in 1986, no one would have showed up and they would have laughed at us in Washington. So they were independent, you know, by that time. It was 3 years later, and they were basically independent.
There's a study out of, there's only one study on secession of peaceful legal movements in the last half century. I think it's out of a Canadian university tied to the London School of Economics. And basically what it said is peaceful secession movements happen quickly because people get elected and they don't want to get trashed. They want to win an election. They don't want to have their reputation destroyed. And so when you have sentiment amongst the people saying this is what they want, the politicians have to act on that or they begin to lose elections and get booed and removed from office. So as we saw with Brexit, even if there's institutional forces pushing back, when you have a undeniable public voice of support for the concept, the system seems to move rather relatively quickly. Certainly looking at Scotland, you know, and other various examples, and then that study, like you're talking about. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and I would easily put our system up in New Hampshire against Scotland's or almost any system in the world in terms of its superiority, you know, of transparency and benign nature and connection to the people. I mean, it's not great, but it's better than pretty much anything else in the world except for maybe Switzerland and some of the Scandinavian countries. So I think we should be able to influence our people a lot better than the Scottish were able to influence their politicians.
Possibly. I mean, I've heard about the New Hampshire legislature, and you have a very, very, very excellent, and I get what you're talking about, best in the world. Yes, that's a fair claim. Your representation of citizens to actual officials is outstanding. I mean, it's a dream that most of the democratic world can, you know, fantasize about, but they're never going to happen. They would never allow that kind of thing happen to them. You have that system because it was grandfathered in, and your people and your ancestors were smart enough to hold on to it. Good for you guys. That's something to be cherished, and it really is something the rest of us should be jealous of. Actual representative democracy close to the scale that the ancient Greeks were talking about. That's congrats.
Well, we haven't hung on to all of it, but the I mean, again, it's pretty simple here. You know, the situation here is a lot simpler than it was in a lot of other places. You know, that have split into different countries, and that we don't have to reinvent anything, or we don't have to start over or start anything new. We can just take the system we've got here, which is pretty good and pretty proven, and then just remove the federal overhang. And just have this, and we've got a dramatically reduced government, but it's still big enough to do basic stuff, and it's not anarchy, it's not chaos.
Exactly, that's what I'm talking. That's what I like about devolution is that when they go, oh, violent overthrow? No, it's the orderly transition of power from one administration to another. That happens every 4 years through elections. We're just talking about levels. So this is very normal, this is very routine, it absolutely can happen, it's not chaos, it's not violent, and I think that's why they like to maybe suppress talk about it, because, exactly. Again, you know what, I'm going to have to call you out. I disagree. I think you are the right guy to talk to, I think this is the right place, I think you are a rational man who understands policies, and has come to the conclusion that perhaps secession is best as a peaceful, legal, using the system, orderly transfer of power for the future of New Hampshire.
Well, thanks, Marcus. I'd like to get a piece of advice from you, though. I have been trying and failing to come up with wording which, so we have it, it's basically, I call it the Independence Amendment, and you know, as I look at the wording of it, it makes me feel, you know, isn't there some way we could make this sound more conciliatory? Because it uses the term Declaration of Independence, and of course that's associated with 1776, which is not such an ideal situation. It's associated with, to some extent, with the Slovene. It sounds a little bit like the Slovene Declaration of Independence, or a little too much like it. Can you think of ways to word something like that? That sounds conciliatory without compromising the substance.
Yes. The short answer is do field tests, market tests, and find a phrase that technically allows you to say what you're trying to say, but isn't something that people are used to hearing, so they will not be triggered against it, and elicits positive emotions already. So basic marketing. So you want to say puppy dog tails. Don't say puppy dog tails. So furry small animal appendages. Nah, that's too wordy. Fluffy waggers. Oh, like a dog's tail? Yeah, like a dog's tail. Oh yeah, that's okay. Are you angry at the term? No. You kind of get it? Yeah. Does it make you feel like, you know, puppies in winter? Holding them, like cute little dogs? Yeah, that's the right answer. So a lot of times activists get into, is it technically correct? And this is the correct term. The public is not educated for this game. So you have to use terminology that they're going to get. And you have to avoid things that will trigger them in a negative thing. And you should try to use phrases or words that elicit positive emotions or already have the ideas that you want already packaged into them. So if you're operating a let's fix the bay, you know, there's a lake and you want to fix the pollution, maybe you would use the name of a cruise liner that's known for being super clean and sturdy and spotless, and you would call yourself the Capital Beach Cruise Liner. You know, I'm having trouble with examples, but basically there's a foolproof way to do it, and it's basic marketing. Avoid the bad terms, attach it to something people like, make sure it's something that they can get, and avoid technical political speak, and that'll be the right answer.
Can you think of another term besides Declaration of Independence that would be better?
Well, I would say that, you know, it depends on over there. It might be different than what works over here. So in California, we found independence is cool because where people like being independent spirit, independent minded. So they like independent. They don't like necessarily the Declaration of Independence. But they like the idea of independent. That term's very hot. So not it, it's it. In New Hampshire, it might be something about perhaps people don't like the federal regulation, and they like doing things the way that New Hampshire people like doing. It's a smaller state. You probably have a particular culture and a strong cohesive identity of, you know, this is how we do things up here. In which case, maybe the answer is something like liberty or freedom or divorce. Because saying I'm free or I'm shedding off this baggage, that might be something that people in that area would resonate more. Well, for example, there was the Tea Party movement, right? And they were talking about, let's get back to real federalism. For whatever you say, that was the idea. And they were wildly successful for marketing. And they came out to California and failed horribly. Because nobody cares about the Tea Party or knows about the Boston Revolution after. So you can have a great idea, but if the market isn't ripe, you're really not going to get anywhere. And unfortunately, we don't live in the time of the Federalist Papers. You have to package it in shiny, or you're never going to get enough people paying attention to have the critical conversation that you need to have and the frankly New Hampshire needs to have.
What did you do in terms of shiny that worked best?
Easy. So you have coffee shops there, I imagine?
Sure.
Go to all of them and talk to as many random people as you can about what you want to do with your Declaration of Independence. And offer them to buy a coffee, and after 20 to 50 people, you'll have a pretty good answer.
Okay.
I know that doesn't sound super, it's not hard, it's work, but field testing really helps you see what's going on. You'll just basically talk to a lot of different random people in the area where you want to sell your message. And each time, each person's going to bring you closer to the answer of how to package it, how to say it. You're going to notice their eyes get big and they kind of smile, or they turn their body to you. There's going to be a way of saying this and explaining it that you get their attention. And there's going to be a million other ways where they're like, yeah, that's cool. And your community is going to be different than California. It's going to be different than New York, different than wherever. Now, if you're really in touch with the community, you might be able to, you know, this is what marketing companies do. They're already kind of feeling out the area. But this is something you can do. And I promise you, you will have a much stronger idea of how to do this, how to sell it, and how to explain it. And the public will also enlighten you about aspects of this plan that you weren't even aware of that are awesome to explain to people. It will be enlightening, and you will find gold falling from the skies into your lap. But you'll have to work for it.
Okay. Okay as in, okay, I accept the idea, not necessarily promising to do it.
But Fair enough.
It seems like a good idea. I hope I don't have to be the one that does it. It's definitely not my thing. But
Start small. Talk to 4 people in the next 2 weeks. Random people who aren't in it. You can't talk to people who are in it. It's got to be random people. I always say, go to your grandma. And they're like, but my grandma barely understands politics. Great. And if you can explain it in the way that she understands it, everybody will get it.
Yeah, I'm victim of my bubbleism at this point because I just don't socialize much with normal people. But I guess I could.
I can socialize online. The whole idea is random folks.
Oh, yeah.
So if there's any way that you can communicate in any capacity at all, picture symbols, interpretive dance, whatever, to random people that you don't know that well, or that you don't talk to politics with.
That's a lot more doable. Yeah, okay. I may try that.
That's the idea.
Okay.
And it's basically, and we did this, and it works.
Okay.
It's not theory. This works. There's a way to package this. There's a way to not say it. There is a way to say it in New Hampshire that the most amount of people will like. You want that term, and what that does is allows you to take the idea of the conversation as far as you can, up until the point that you run into people who just hate the idea because they hate the idea. You know, they understand it, and you explained it the best ever, and they're just against it. That number needs to be tiny, or the minimum.
Yeah.
Well, less than.
It's like I keep telling the reps, that a lot of them, their objection is, well, it won't pass. Some of them say it will never pass, which is a crazy thing to say, actually. But the fact is, all we have to do is get it in front of the legislature, and we're ahead of all the other states.
Exactly. And I'll tell you how to flip them. You repackage it in a way that gets you. And how many people are in the legislature? Like, a million or something? Or it's a big number, right?
The population is 1.5 million in New Hampshire, and the legislature is 400 people.
How many in the legislature?
400.
Okay. You have 5 now.
Well, five are on our email list, interested, open-minded, but not necessarily in favor of a constitutional amendment separating New Hampshire from the Union.
Fair enough. If you do what I'm telling you, on your own time, in your own way, find your own path, but avoid these pitfalls and look for these things and test it and get that. And I can help you too. But it's going to be, the essence is, the answer is already out there. And people in your state know it. You have to go yank it out of their brain, matter of quotes, synapses. That's the way to do it. When you find this, and you're able to get 5 more legislators, which should not be that impossible given there's 400. The 5 who are just sitting on the fence will immediately start moving off the fence and into your home. And other people will come.
Yeah.
If you've been, because your numbers are so low, if you double them, which is really doable, then they're going to go, whoa. And all of their calculus will be rocked. It's called suspension of disbelief of the mind. They have a worldview that they think is the way things work. If you do something that shatters that, they have to rethink everything. It's like the moment somebody sees a real-life alien. They're like, oh my God, everything's changed, right? So you do something that could never happen. Now they have to go, well, I have to guess everything all over again. I got to change my calculus all over again.
Yeah, and it's interesting, you know, I although I'm not one to socialize normally, I pulled a publicity stunt and marched across New Hampshire in a Gandhi costume.
And, there you go. Right on!
I was protesting the arrests of the crypto users.
Did you film it?
Yeah, I got a lot of video. You go to Ridley Report, you'll see it.
RidleyReport.com.
But, I did talk to a lot of people about independence on that, right? Because I did wind up talking to quite a few random people, you know, and the reaction was a lot more positive than it used to be. It seems to have been mainstreamed. I called into a radio station in Connecticut about it a few weeks ago, just to let them know what we were doing here, and they were. Just excited about it. It wasn't that they were tolerant of the idea. They were thinking, wow, that's fantastic.
What changed?
So, it's just Brexit changed a lot of things and it divorced the independence idea from the Confederate South. It was associated with them for so long. But we've just had enough years pass that people are not thinking about that so much as Brexit and Scotland and things now, and so it just seems like the environment has improved. And then after that, of course, we had all these crises, these destabilizing crises, which made independence more desirable for people. And then what's coming next, we can already see it, is some type of inflationary event, possibly a hyperinflationary event, which further pushes people into our camp.
Plan on midterms going Republican, Red.
Yes, that's the kind of thing we would expect that will probably happen.
Plan on liberals flipping out in 2016.
Yeah. Maybe.
That's what we're predicting. We're planning on that. Making our moves based on that. You have some time, and you can tie yourself into the election cycle, and it is good. I'm envious. I'm envious. You have legislators. You have an uptick in interest. You have radio stations who are interested in this idea. All you got to do is start talking to people and doing some marketing work, which can be done to find something. You only get 5 more people. Hell, if you just get 3, it'll be enough to switch the minds of the others, to change the calculus, and then they're going to be willing to talk about it more, open up the gates to other legislators. That's a bold position.
Yeah, I think that's something I can do. I think I can reach out to people on non-political Facebook groups or something like that and just ask them for their advice. And most people are willing to give advice. The other thing is that listening to this 1989 speech by Estonians and Lithuanians, they mentioned something I hadn't really thought of, but apparently, and I remember this from 1988, I think, that you remember that moment where they managed to put together like 300,000 people from those Baltic republics, and they all held hands from the north, from Riga all the way down to Belarus. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
One thing they were saying is that what they did that was really important was they actually coordinated all the independence drives. So they were spending a lot of time. Estonians were spending a lot of time working on Latvian stuff. And to me, I always thought, well, that's kind of going off mission. You know, we should focus on New Hampshire and all that. But maybe that is an example that should be followed of coordinating the independence drives in a better way.
Oh, absolutely. Normative programming. The more normal this conversation becomes, the better. And we talked Brexit happened. Now it's not about the crazy South. And it happened. So it's not, all sorts of, like, it's just not outside fantasy. It could actually happen. And England did not blow up, and dinosaurs and aliens did not come and eat it alive. It's still there. That was a huge boost, because they were like, oh, this will be the end of them. They're all, didn't happen. I know they took a beating, but they're still there. And they did it legally, and nobody was shot. That's a huge boost.
Yeah, if you think about it, even the Quebecois independence drive was not completely bloodless, because I think one or two of the Quebecois were killed.
They did, and, you know, it's very important for independence movements to avoid any remote anything to do with that at all, because you get into what Max Weber talked about, the hierarchy of need. People need to feel safe. And if they feel an independence movement is being unsafe, if the government or the power structure wants to crush it, they will be supported by the popular will, because it will be seen as, or the government will easily be able to paint it as, a security issue. So that's why Gandhi and CSR, Cesar and Martin Luther King and Lech Walesa, even in the Soviet Union, and even the Dutch during the Nazi occupation, were successful because they completely removed that element from their movements.
Interesting. Yeah, the Quebecois, yeah. The incident, and the one that I'm thinking about, it was one of the centralists, one of the centralists killed one of the independence people. So it worked to the advantage of the Quebecois. I'm surprised, actually, it wasn't a bigger deal than it was. Most Americans don't even know what happened. But it's interesting how, even in New Hampshire, how disconnected we are from Quebec. It's almost like it's just this completely alien place. I've never even been there myself, and and that's not right. You know, I'd so much rather be close to Quebec than close to Massachusetts.
Yeah. And that's the other thing you have going for you guys is that you're very close to an independence province that is functioning. Right? It's not a third world country, it's part of Canada, but everybody knows about it, and it's right next there. And then you add on top of that the fact that I think historically your state or your ancestors proved that secession is legal in American law because they met with the British during the War of 1812. And nobody said anything about how that was illegal. And we're talking about a time where the Founding Fathers were alive. So, we don't have those things out here in California. This is from scratch.
Yeah,
nothing to point at.
I guess it's sort of the seat of the anti-federalist movement.
We are, but that's organic. Totally organic. We do have geography. We're really far from the main American population. And we have more foreign people and immigrants than we do Americans walking around. So, kind of like aware of, you know, we're kind of different.
What is your take on the, one of the things we've been discussing is the question of global security or security against large global threats like China seems to be becoming. What are your thoughts on the best ways to make independence drives around the country consistent with security against a large, growing, rich, almost totalitarian power like China?
I would say that it's a hard answer, but it is the answer because, as I understand, the way it works. So, you know about John Cena?
John Cena?
If I say John Cena, you know what I'm talking about, sir?
Oh, no, I'm not familiar with John Cena.
So, John Cena is a major actor, big Hollywood star. He said something about China, and then he had to apologize to the Chinese government. So his freedom of speech was curtailed, and he went with a major star because he was worried about losing money from Chinese government. Have you heard of an athlete called LeBron James?
Yes, of course.
He did the same thing. Have you heard of a sports association called the National Basketball Association?
Yeah, that one, that incident I heard about.
Okay, they did the same thing. Perhaps you've heard of a guy called Joseph Biden? And perhaps you've heard of a term called, I'm not going to criticize China for a genocide of the Uyghur people?
Oh, yeah.
Live on CNN television? Perhaps you were aware that Barack Obama's brother, I'm not making this up, lived in China for multiple years. And perhaps you're aware that Donald Trump, although I am disgusted with the man, was correct. They've been letting China do whatever the hell they want for decades. Steal the property, steal jet technology, national security stuff. That's fine. Throw civil rights people in prison and kill them. They had a Nobel Peace Prize winner, Carter, and a Nobel Peace Prize winner, Obama, travel to China when China just imprisoned a Nobel Peace Prize winner for saying they should have democracy. He died in prison. Obama and Carter could say nothing about it at all. So when we talk about standing up to China, you ain't talking about America.
Yeah.
So let's not worry about it.
Yeah, well, I worry about it by making solutions, suggested solutions. I guess mine is, I'm not sure I want New Hampshire to do this, but I think it's certainly something that should be on the table, and that would be to join NATO, or perhaps even for all the states to join NATO.
If you're independent, and the reason you want to set it, the reason you paint it as America's incompetent standing up to China, is because there are now associations. So there's something called the Club, there's another called the Atlantic Group or whatever. So Canada, Japan, Australia, India, France, Germany, they're shopping around for associations. Because they're independent countries, they can do that. They realize that with their economic power, they can link into a new club and basically create a new NATO at will. And they're doing these things without America because they view America as not a reliable partner. You're not going to really see that in the news. It's in foreign policy articles. The news is going to tell you, of course, they see America as an indelible ally. They're already shopping around for new partnerships. And the USA ain't involved in talks. Just go ahead and type new international associations, Canada, France, Germany, Japan, Australia, and India. They've been doing that through Trump, didn't stop with Biden. So if you're independent, you could join one of those, but only if you're not attached to America. If you are, you never get to be part of one of those groups who are probably going to have the best way of pushing back against China. If America's not going to do it, one of these associations is your best option. I apologize for the driving directions.
Yeah, well, for me, you know, that may be, that's definitely an option. I believe that even a small country like New Hampshire could do it by itself, but it would have to have a sufficient amount of weapon freedom, which would be even greater than what we already have. Like, you know, it would have to be comparable to what we had in the 30s in New Hampshire. But if you had enough freedom in weapons and enough freedom in association, like right now it's illegal for people here to basically have militias. And if you allow militias and you allow private defense agencies and you allow a wide range of things that people are allowed to own by way of weaponry, up to and including fighter jets, then I'm not sure you need to be in NATO anymore. But you know that it's yet another option besides the United States for security.
I respectfully, I disagree. I think it's impossible to say that any group of armed civilians could stand up to the United States military.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about standing up to the... No, if there were a violence against the United States, that would just be completely inappropriate. This, I'm talking about violence against foreign invading governments, you know, like China or something like that.
Right, yeah. Right. So they'd have to go through America and Canada to get to you. So your best defense is being associated with America and Canada. Even if you're becoming independent, I would say a trade association is the best defense. Because, real talk, people who are producing money and are economically tied to others don't get invaded. All the places that get blown up and shot up and destroyed is places without much economic linkage.
Okay.
That's a fact since World War II.
So be like...
So tie yourself to a trade group, you'll never get invaded.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, yeah, I think you've given me some good ideas for answering the China question, and also for maybe improving our wording.
So, yes, California, we aim to help, and we love building bridges. As our governor said, Americans build walls, California values, we like bridges.
That's a good start. That's a good start on his part. Do you have any thoughts on how the three, you know, I don't know how many major independence movements there are right now in the country. I guess I would rate it as being maybe five, if you count Alaska and Vermont. Certainly you and Texas are the big ones. Maybe we will be on the table as part of the big three shortly. But kind of aligning all of these independence movements, how do you think communications between the movements should go, or how should they be brought together?
I think we should start having regular communication. And everybody's like, let's have an annual conference. It's really hard to get everybody to show up to one specific date. But what you can do is have regular communication, monthly conferences, where you do exactly like literally what we did on the show. It's not rocket science. We share marketing, we share tips, we share strategy, and most of all, we record it and project the fact that all of us are sane, rational people, which helps to normalize this. I think it's really simple to do. We just need to start doing it. I also think it's we need to tie ourselves to independence movements in Mexico, or Mexico, and then also Canada, because I think the number of states where independence is viable is limited. We're always asked about, aren't you going to, America will just break up? No, it won't. Most people don't have any interest in this. I know they're saying there's a background noise of people supporting this, but New Hampshire has a history. You guys have been talking about this for a while. Vermont, yeah. Hawaii, Texas, sure. New York City, California, Alaska. But you don't really hear about 43 other states really talking about this. I mean, maybe a blip here and there. I think they're largely content with the union, and I don't think they would be interested. And I think that's a great thing for us, because one of the major talking points is you want to destroy America. And if we go, look, there's really only a small boutique of states that want to do this, and 90% is not interested, then we can shut down that counterpoint. And it makes life easier for the rest of us.
Interesting. I kind of thought it would be more like the Soviet crack-up, where you really just, every single Soviet socialist republic basically became a separate country.
So they remembered themselves as nations, and they had a period of time where they were nations. They remembered. There was a time where we ran things all by ourselves. Americans don't have that. Tennessee people don't have a period where they remember Tennessee was all by itself. Most Americans, certainly in the populated areas, the Midwest and the South and the Upper Midwest, rely on the federal government to survive. And to be told, well, that's going to go away and you're going to have to figure it out, there's not much of an appetite for it, I think, when they really get to it. I think what happened with New Hampshire is you have a historical case where you guys know that your ancestors were looking at this. And you're literally right next to modern Quebec that makes a strong case for this. And you literally aren't voting in a way that the rest of your game will vote. You have a lot of unique circumstances that I'm a little bit jealous, a little jelly, as we like to call it over here.
Well, I hope you succeed. I don't want to get too far out in front of you, but we are trying to, we are thinking competitively and trying to be in front. I should probably go. It's time for a bio break, but I really appreciate your time, Marcus, and we should do this again and maybe make communications a little bit closer between the different movements.
Yeah, send me the recording on email, please, sir, and I'll share it.
It'll be on ReallyReport.com, and it'll probably be up within about a week.
Thank you so much.
But I will try to, when I put it up, that should remind me to email you that it's up.
Thank you, and we will share it. And I am down to start doing monthly conference calls with all the movements. Just count Yes California in.
Okay, thanks, Marcus, and thanks also, again, for being at ForkFest.
Okay.
Well, virtually, anyway.
Yeah.
All right, take care.
Okay,
bye.